It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
They stalled, they sang Christmas carols, but the Senate finally got there, passing a stopgap spending bill that was by voice vote that kicks the can down the road until February 8th. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says this keeps the debate going.
This intransigence, with Democrats' failure to take our borders seriously, Republicans will continue to fulfill our duty to govern. A simple measure that will continue government funding into February, so we can continue this vital debate after the new Congress.
Now, the bill has $1.3 billion for the wall, but no new money, as you mentioned, Brian, which was the sticking point for President Trump. Now it goes to the House for a vote where passage is uncertain. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer had this to say.
The President and the House should follow that lead, because shutting down the government over Christmas is a terrible idea.
Also unclear whether the president would sign it. Members of the House Freedom Caucus are blasting this, encouraging the president to veto it. Bottom line, the House must approve, the Senate must agree, and the president must sign all before midnight tomorrow, or else the lights go out for part of the government in the Capitol behind me.
Sandy Rios with you. Yeah, 25% non-vital workers would be not paid, at least temporarily. They always get their back pay, but that's what's at stake here. That's what Mitch McConnell is so afraid of. Oh my goodness, we can't shut down the government. To heck with a border wall, because just quite frankly, by pushing this, signing a short-term CR, continuing resolution, they push it off to the next Congress, which is the Democratic Congress, which is the one that Pelosi will likely be Speaker of. So it's just really one you thought it couldn't get worse with Republican leadership, and it gets worse. This is from McClatchy this morning. Trump's vow to build a wall hits a dead end. Trump insisted on Twitter Wednesday, one way or another, we will win on this wall. And, of course, he was trying to get $5 billion, which is just a pittance, really, in this project. But Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi say, no way, there's no way you're going to do this. And you're not going to, and McConnell says, we're not going to shut down the government to get that. We're going to do you guys a favor. We're going to fund the government, which is wonderful. We're going to do that 25%. No border wall, but we're going to fund that 25%, and we're not going to shut the government down at Christmas. And come back and let Nancy Pelosi deal with this, because, of course, you know, she will be sure to manage things so that President Trump and the American people can be safe on their southern border. Well, Nancy Pelosi got the message really well, and she was caught? She was spotted in a bar in Washington, D.C. with Joe Crowley, who is the Democratic congressman who was defeated by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Joe was on stage singing and playing guitar, and lots of other Democrats were there too, and Nancy was, well, let's just listen a little bit. Nancy Pelosi, Joe Crowley dancing, singing to Bye Bye Miss American Pie, celebrating, I think. Joe Crowley, that was his last night in the Senate, in the House. He's leaving, of course, because he was defeated, but they're also pretty happy about the way things are coming down. Don't give up, though, for a second, because I have more things to tell you, so just please stay with me for a second. The president tweeted yesterday, one way or another, we will win on the wall. And so that's encouraging. I have to say, Mark Meadows of the Freedom Caucus tweeted, this is what he's saying. It's tweeted by Chad Pergram of Fox. He says, Freedom Caucus leader Meadows says the political fallout of Trump signing a spending bill without a wall will start Saturday. Says if Trump signs the bill, there will be major damage to his reelection in 2020. The Freedom Caucus is absolutely going at this like tigers. They are not giving up. And the House, the Senate last night passed this short-term continuing resolution. It's a great victory because we're not going to shut down the government. No, we didn't fund the wall, but we'll discuss it again in March or February. Of course, Nancy Pelosi will be all over it. That Democratic House will be sure and give the president money for his wall. That's kind of what Mitch McConnell, I guess, wants us to believe, that they'll really consider it when she's got the gavel again. Not hardly. So it's pretty delusional. And now it goes to the House, which convenes this morning. And trust me, even into the night last night, there were just heroic things taking place. I think of the Freedom Caucus. They are fighting like you would not believe. Let me just play for you a couple of clips. This is Jody Heiss, a congressman from Georgia, who was on with Shannon Bream last night. This is clip 9. I want you to hear what Jody had to say.
When we're talking border security, we're talking national security. And within that context, we ran on this. The president ran on this. I ran on this. Most of the people in the Republican Party ran on this. I mean, we all heard the chants of literally millions saying, build that wall, build that wall. And the question ultimately comes down to, are we going to do what we promised the American people we would do? There again, we've made a commitment to the American people what we would do, and the president's been very outspoken on this as well, and as recent as last week, being very outspoken on his position on this, and I believe the American people are with him. All I can say is from my constituents' perspective, my phones are being lit up with constituents who are angry that it seems as though when we have the chance right now to do what we said we would do, there doesn't seem the will to get it over the finish line. Yeah, I think he's walking on thin ice. All of us are. I mean, this is, again, we get what we deserve when we don't do what we said we were going to do. And this is a major issue that the president ran on, that the American people massively got behind him on. And this is something we've just got to deliver. And now is the time. If we think that Nancy Pelosi is going to fund the wall, as you just read, that's not in their plans. In fact, their plans include just the opposite. They're going to do everything possibly to prevent it from occurring. So we've got to get it done right now.
That was Congressman Jody Heiss from Georgia, part of the Freedom Caucus. And I told you, they are just valiant warriors. They were last night on the House. Tommy Binion will be joining us in a few minutes. Tommy is right in the thick of this, and he's going to kind of recount for us what's taken place in the last 24 hours. The House convenes this morning, and I know that the Freedom Caucus is going to put up a good fight, and so we're going to see what happens with that. The other thing is, well, let me just read you what Cindy Hoyer, who is the Democratic House whip, said. He said yesterday, we're not for the wall. We don't think the wall is good policy. Nancy Pelosi said it was immoral. You see how this goes. And then, of course, the president is talking about transferring funds from other entities to build the wall. And now we find out that needs congressional approval. And, of course, guess who's coming forward to say we're not giving congressional approval? Chuck Schumer says, let me be very clear. The administration cannot reprogram funds appropriated by Congress for the full wall without our assent. They cannot do it on their own. And the House and Senate will not approve a wall from reprogrammed funds or anything else. It won't happen. Hoyer said the same thing, and other outside agencies are saying the same thing. Mark Meadows said, we're ready to fight on behalf of all the freedom-loving Americans to make sure we have secure borders. It's time we deliver on behalf of the American people and deliver what the president promised. Now, how could they do that? There's a couple of people that are offering solutions. Rick Manning of Americans for Limited Government has pointed something out, which is really amazing. He's asking people to call their congressman on this. Rick says there won't be any vote on the wall funding this year or any year at the rate we're going because nobody in congressional leadership is apparently willing to stick it in a bill and simply vote on it, even to defeat it. If at the end of the day it appears likely Congress once again does not produce a spending bill that includes wall funding, Right now, the White House is demanding $5 billion for construction, but it appears the only consensus on Capitol Hill is to kick the can via a short-term funding bill. Then the president still has one card to play. And listen, this is actually very interesting. He wants the president to veto the spending bill, which is what many of us have been asking the president to do. Veto it. If it doesn't have funding for the wall, do not sign. Do not put your name on that bill. Rick points out that if that happens, it goes back to both houses and they have to override his veto. And at that point, he will not need 218 votes in the House. He only needs 145. And he doesn't need 60 votes in the Senate. He needs 34. Rick has started this movement called SustainTheVeto.org. SustainTheVeto.org. And urge Congress to sustain President Trump's vetoes on spending bills. So he's getting ahead of things. I'll ask Tommy about that in just a second. The Conservative Action Project, CAP, has written a long letter, which many of us have signed. President Trump must push Congress, vote on the wall. And so, all of the organizations have been very actively trying to get the president. We didn't think we had to get him to fight on this. I played that long clip of him with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in the Oval Office. And he was so firm just a week ago, and I don't think any of us thought we had to encourage him to be firm, but something strange seems to be happening. I can't explain it. I maybe could, but I don't know if he's tired, if the attacks are just getting to him so that he's losing his ability. They finally may be overcoming him. I don't know, in which case, boy, we need to pray, don't we? Because I've said many times that he is really the one thing standing in the way of all of this, the horrible stuff that the left would love to do. The House Freedom Caucus is pushing GOP leadership on border security. They're doing it even this morning. And so we'll talk to Tommy about that in a second. The other thing I wanted to mention was, there are so many heroes. There's a triple amputee, a U.S. military veteran. His name is Kolfage. He was a retired U.S. Air Force member who served in Iraq. During his second deployment, he was injured in a rocket attack in Balad Air Base. He lost both of his legs and his right hand. He is the most severely wounded airman to survive any war. And guess what he's doing? Guess what he's doing? Brian Kolfage, disabled U.S. Air Force veteran, is raising money to help build the U.S.-Mexico border wall. I've had several people ask me, why don't we just do it? Let's go to get a GoFundMe page going and let's do it. He's raised $2 million for more than 34,000 people. He says, if the 63 million people who voted for Trump each pledged $80, we can build that wall. And so he said, even if we only get half of it, we could build half a wall. And so he's got a GoFundMe page. The people will fund the wall. We, the people, will fund the wall. So there are people that are still trying to do something. I want to make that clear. There's one player in this that always needs to be addressed. That's the absent AWOL Paul Ryan, who's been busy making a video of his life. Mike Emanuel did a report on him last night. Let's listen, clip three.
Speaker Paul Ryan's leaving Washington at just 48 years old when many expected he would be the future of the Republican Party. But after 20 years in Congress and 3 years as Speaker, Ryan says he's had enough.
I never wanted to become Speaker. I was just a policy guy. I like to think I still am.
Major tax reform passed last year is at the top of his legacy.
This is something I worked on literally my entire adult life. And it's something that will help improve the lives of people for a long time to come.
The Senate Majority Leader says Ryan has always been true to his principles.
He demonstrated that faith in America, free enterprise, and individual liberty are not quaint, outdated ideas, but essential and timeless principles.
Ryan frequently blasted the Obama administration
for lacking... timeless principles. I have to interrupt because we're running out of time. Timeless principles like don't do anything to secure the border. That's been pretty consistent. Paul Ryan certainly did do tax reform, and he was heralded as someone who knew so much about the finances. I honestly think that's because nobody in Congress understands money, and he understood at least in part. We know now that big budget he set up several years ago included incredible amounts of spending. He's not a champion from my perspective. He's done a terrible job. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The Ministry of Preborn meets abortion-minded women right where they are. When a young mom sees her baby on ultrasound, she's 80% more likely to keep her baby.
And I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
This mom chose life for her baby.
She's been such a joy. Her name even means rebirth and sort of being raised up from the ashes. I now see my daughter, and I cannot imagine my life without my happy, lovely, joyful, smart baby, and I'm so grateful.
Preborn runs and leads Christian pregnancy centers all over the country. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
No contamination? This is Ken Ham, encouraging churches to start their thinking with the truth of God's Word. Radiometric dating is built on layers of assumptions and can't be trusted to give accurate dates for the age of the Earth. One assumption is that there hasn't been any contamination, but groundwater and other processes can add or remove both the parent and daughter atoms from the rocks used for dating. And it's been shown that rocks can be contaminated. 50-year-old lava flows in New Zealand gave radiometric ages of 133 million years to 3.9 billion years. Now, clearly something was quite off. The assumptions in radiometric dating aren't provable. In fact, they've been proved to be wrong. Actually, the Earth's young, as the Bible teaches.
Plan your visit to the Ark Encounter in Northern Kentucky when you visit our website at AnswersRadio.com and discover more answers by going to AnswersRadio.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. The principal of Manchester Elementary School in Elkhorn, Nebraska, is on Santa's naughty list. Jennifer Sinclair sent a letter to teachers announcing a ban on Christmas for the sake of inclusiveness. The principal banned Christmas trees and Christmas carols, Santa Claus, and Elf on the Shelf. She also forbade boys and girls from sharing candy canes because she said the J shape was for Jesus, and, well, you know, that's just not inclusive. Liberty Council, a nonprofit public policy organization, fired off a letter to the school district warning that the principal's directive is unconstitutional. They said it amounted to downright hostility toward Christianity. Reindeer, by the way, also on the principal's naughty list. On the other hand, sledding, gingerbread people, snow people, and snowflakes are permitted, and there certainly appear to be lots of snowflakes in Elkhorn, Nebraska. I'm Todd Starnes.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Sandy Rios back with you. That's the Hallelujah Chorus from the Soulful Celebration of the Messiah, which I absolutely love. I play it every Christmas, and I also love the traditional Messiah. And I just want to just say that right now in the midst of this bad news. If you want to be encouraged, find your favorite version of Handel's Messiah. It is an inspired piece. It reminds us of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, I talked about, I know my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand on this earth in the latter days. I talked about that yesterday, that a song that was just going through my mind over and over as the news kept washing over us, the bad news. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I said and will repeat that I don't doubt that God is completely cognizant of all of the bad news that we are seeing and hearing, and you're going to hear more of it this morning. us. And at this Christmas time, it's just a wonderful time, and I hope you'll take it to just unplug a little bit from the news and remember. But then come back right back in, please, because we've got some fights ahead of us. This is not going, there's no easy fix on this. And you can't just turn off a switch. I guess you can. You can turn off a switch and not pay a price for a long time. But trust me, if we do not stay engaged, the price that we pay will be so much greater than if we fight. And so I'm just asking you to stay tuned. Don't go. Don't leave us. Not yet. Tommy Binion is with Heritage Foundation. Tommy is really, honestly, one of the nation's leading experts on what goes on inside of that mystifying Congress. And so I've asked him to join us this morning, having no idea when I asked him that the night before this conversation would be so interesting. Tommy, thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning. Happy to be with you. This is a mystifying week indeed.
Yeah, it is, and we need group therapy, Tommy. So let's talk about this. I've already explained that the Senate passed that short-term CR last night, and that Mitch McConnell sort of put a rosy face on it, like somehow they'd done something good. Explain again why that short-term CR is such a really bad idea.
Well, let's go back a little bit. Government funding, appropriations, it's an annual cycle. The Congress must decide how much to spend in each government agency every single year. Those appropriations bills are due September 30th, and this Congress funded most of the government. About 75% of the spending was already funded by September 30th, but they delayed the rest. 25%, about 9 government agencies, they delayed that funding until December 7th, and the point was they wanted to get more border security funding. The president wanted to build a wall, and he thought, well, if we fight over it for a couple more months, maybe we can build the wall. The December 7th deadline came, and they said, all right, we need 2 more weeks to work it out. December 21st is the new deadline, and of course, that was transparent. It's impossible to imagine that congressmen and senators would want to be here over Christmas. So the December 21st deadline was dubious at best. But here we are. Last week, the president signaled he was going to use all of the leverage he had, even to the point where he would veto a bill and shut down the 25% of the government that's not funded unless he got his wall funding. But this week, the story changed completely, and he signaled he didn't want to shut down. He would sign a short-term CR, so that's what the Senate passed. It basically just extends government funding until February 8th, but the Democrats are going to take over the House on January 3rd, and what that delay means is that there will be no more fight on the wall. He's decided he is not going to get money from this appropriations process for his border wall. Everything will continue as it was. It's a loss for him. Let's just be honest about that. It's a loss for him. And the Republicans in Congress, for the most part, are going along with it. But there's a real fight in a pocket of the House. The House Freedom Caucus is wanting to reverse the tide and go back to that fight on the wall. We'll see if they have any success today.
Yeah, my understanding was that they, I guess it would be kind of a useless exercise to go into the details of it, but the House convenes this morning, right? Are they already in session this morning?
They'll come in at 10 o'clock.
Okay. And so what do you think is going to happen? I mean, honestly, I mean, in general, like the Freedom Caucus, they have these two amendments, and one is to address not just border funding, because it's not just the wall. It's the other things. It's catch and release. It's all the privileges that are given to people coming into the country illegally, like assigning them attorneys and all this stuff. There's a lot of really good stuff, necessary stuff in that second bill. Do you think it has a chance of being included in what the House votes on?
I think that they are showing all the signs they're going to fight as hard as they can for it. The deck is stacked against them, and the mood in the rest of the House of Representatives is that they want to get out of town. They've decided no longer to care. They've decided to go home for Christmas. But a small band of people can change things in the House. They could catch momentum. They could block a procedural move and change the game. But the that strategy depends on they could possibly delay the short-term CR from being enacted for a short period of time. But in that short period of time, their hope is that the American people, the grassroots activists, demonstrate that they really care about the wall and they really want the wall. After all, that's what really matters. If it's just 20 or 30 or 40 folks in the Freedom Caucus, eventually they'll get squashed by the rules of the House unless, in the short delay that they can create, people get engaged and they let their congressmen know they want the wall and the political tide begins to turn. That's the hope and the strategy that's there.
Well, and also that they can remind the president of the line that he drew so clearly so many times and the promises that he made. And I think hoping, I'm guessing, Tommy, to give him the courage. Heaven knows, the president has been under so much attack. I don't think anyone, it's hard to fault him for seeing any kind of sign of discouragement on his part, because we know the extent of the attacks against him are incredible. So I think, you know, but we also know he can be persuaded. He can be encouraged. And I know that maybe they're trying to just encourage him to find himself again here and do something about it. What would have been the ideal thing, Tommy? What should have happened on this, honestly, if it had gone the right way in terms of leadership?
Well, that's exactly the perfect question to be asking. The wall and border security are a national priority. We've got a crisis on our borders. If you Google caravan, if you watch cable news, you can see there is a crisis on our borders, and it is of national interest to reprioritize border funding and have a sincere and overwhelming effort to secure the border. That is what's required, and the president, demonstrating leadership, has led our country to that point. He ran on this. He got elected on this. And 2 years later, the crisis has gotten worse with these caravans, and now is the time that the Congress, with their Article I constitutional spending power, ought to have prioritized border security funding. That is what Republican leadership told everybody that they were going to do over the summer. Then they said, we're going to do it after the election. Then they said, we're going to do it before Christmas. None of those things, of course, happened. What should have happened is at any point, they had the votes in the House to pass the appropriate amount of border security funding. At any of those times, they could have passed it to the House, sent it to the Senate. Now it's in the Senate. Of course, you need 60 votes to pass it, but that's 9 Democrats. And you go after them one by one, and you, the politics of border security is on your side. The American people want the border secured. The amount of political pressure that could have been brought to bear either before the election or 2 weeks ago or this week on a handful of Senate Democrats is immense. That's what you do. And you convince them to vote for border security funding, and you present that bill to the president, and he signs it. That barring that, the president could have signaled he would veto anything other than that, bringing even more pressure to bear on Senate Democrats. None of that happened. It's a game of chicken that the president has decided not to engage in. He signaled he would engage in it, and now he's changed his mind, and that's disappointing. But Republican leadership rigged this process against him. So let's be disappointed in them as well.
Yep. I just want to play just for a second. Paul Ryan gave his farewell speech yesterday. I'm sure you heard at least part of it, Tommy. And I want the audience to hear a bit of it. Then I'd love for you to comment on his leadership. Let's listen. Clip 2.
It is precisely because this is so momentary. It's because you are here for just a small part of history that you are inspired to do big things. And on this score, we have achieved a great deal. We have much to be proud of. 3 years ago, when we last gathered in this hall, we began a great journey to set our nation on a better path, to move our economy from stagnation to growth, to restore our military might, and we have kept our promises. This House is the most productive we have had in at least a generation. To date, we have passed 1,175 bills, more than half of them with bipartisan support. Now, we have taken on some of the biggest challenges of our time, and we have made a great and lasting difference in the trajectory of this country.
All right, I'm going to interrupt him. A great and lasting trajectory, the most successful Congress in a generation, Tommy Binion, I'd like your reflection on what he just said.
Well, I'm not sure I agree entirely with the tone of that. You know, when I look at the legacy, and I'm very disappointed in the legacy of the Republican majorities of the 115th Congress, tax reform was a great victory, sure. But I think the more lasting legacy, to be honest with you, is it is a continued and looming debt crisis precipitated by massive spending bills. The trend for spending has gone upwards, not downwards, under Republican leadership over the last 2 years. And I don't think Republican leaders are bad people, but I think that there is a fundamental flaw in their approach. Everything that happens, whether it's a spending deadline or a debt ceiling deadline or an opportunity to pass a bill, everything is treated like an obstacle course to be navigated. Instead, Republican leaders need to see the big problems of the nation and confront them proactively. If they don't do that, these big problems, not the least of which is the looming debt crisis. We're $20 trillion in debt, and we're adding $1 trillion to that every single year. And that's under Republican leadership. That is going to crush our economy. We have a great economy now, but what's holding it back is this debt crisis. They never confronted that. In fact, when they were faced with spending deadlines, the way that they navigated it was by giving everybody more spending and increasing the problem and making it worse. That to me is a big problem. Now, they accomplished some good things. Let's give them credit. But to say that it was all good and it's time to spike the football, I think, is a little bit misleading.
Tommy, we just have a few minutes left, and we could go down a path. Honestly, every path I look at this morning is pretty discouraging. But you're a real realist. I mean, you tell it like it is, but I've also, in fact, I heard you, I believe, yesterday, pointing out some hopeful things. Can you just give people an idea of maybe some things that they can be encouraged about that has happened, maybe in the spending bill, or what we can look forward to the next year, the next 2 years of President Trump's time in office, some bright spots, if there are some?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, Sandy, President Trump's most enduring legacy, and this probably goes for Mitch McConnell as well, is putting constitutionalists on the court. Our constitutional rights, the fabric of our republic, our First Amendment rights, they're under attack from the left. They are the fundamental bulwark from the agenda that the left wants to implement, and we now have a competent and trustworthy defense in the individuals that the president has nominated and the Senate has confirmed on the court. If 2 years ago we had been talking about this on your radio show, that would happen over the next 2 years, that two constitutionalists would be put on the Supreme Court over the next 2 years, I think we would have a big smile on our face. That is, of course, a victory that will last a generation. I'm very, very happy about that. The future is very interesting. There is built-in conflict in the Congress. Democrats are in the majority in the House, Republicans in the Senate. If you are a conservative, I think divided government, where less happens, where more conflict happens, and therefore less is accomplished, probably works in your favor. I don't want the Congress to be able to accomplish much. I want them to be stopped from their sweeping legislative agendas. I think small government is best. The truth is, and this is hard to say, but the truth is, when there's divided government, the government ticks down. I'm happy about that. And we live in the greatest nation on earth. Let's all be happy about that. It's Christmas time, and it's the greatest nation on earth, and God has truly blessed us.
Okay, Tommy. I'll take that. I will. And Tommy, listen, your service is, you do a great service for the American people. They don't, you know, most of them don't know who you are, but that's the way it is in Washington. There are so many patriots who are just diligent, faithful, doing their very best. Tommy's one of them, and yet he's very smart, knows what's going on the inside, and I look to him all the time for information in Congress. But today, I think seriously, we need to contact our Congress now, House of Representatives, and tell them to hold fast, pass the Freedom Caucus amendments and hold fast and ask the president to veto this bill. Sandy Rios in the morning.
And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez complained that voters are influenced by what they hear in church on Sundays. Perez lamented that Democrat messaging doesn't penetrate because one of the principal sources of information for voters is what they hear from the pulpit on Sunday, and they buy it. This statement demonstrates that regressives will ultimately come for the church. History shows that humanistic totalitarians will not stand a vibrant, dissenting voice. It's the reason communist China seeks to crush Christianity there. What they fail to realize is that the gates of hell will not prevail against the Lord's church.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The cultivation, transport, and sale of marijuana is against federal law everywhere. Federal penalties for possession are stiff, up to life in prison and up to a fine of $1 million. But there is currently a stampede at the state level to completely ignore or nullify federal laws on dope. Recreational use is now legal in 23 states. Now, according to the left, gay marriage is the law of the land in all 50 states. Here's the question. If states can ignore federal law on marijuana, why not on marriage? Let's have one state after another nullify federal law on marriage just like they do on pot and make man-woman marriage the American standard again. Here's the question, who will be first?
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program that's been around for 25 years, and they have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $1 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money. Think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have a lot to offer? Well, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Like a lot of us, Donald Trump is reportedly strongly influenced by the last person with whom he spoke. That's particularly risky if it's someone like Senator Rand Paul or Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and the topic is withdrawing U.S. forces from Syria. After all, Senator Paul is an isolationist who likely recommended during a recent round of golf that the president declare victory against ISIS and abandon Syria. And President Erdogan is those jihadists' ally, not ours. He probably warned Mr. Trump recently to pull out ahead of his country's imminent invasion of northern Syria. The commander-in-chief needs to listen to his national security team instead. 2,200 U.S. Special Forces in Syria help thwart the ambitions there of those hostile to America and Israel like ISIS, Turkey, Iran, Russia, and the Syrian government. They should continue to do so. This is Frank Gaffney.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning American Family Radio.
Talking over the announcer. Sandy Rios back with you. Hey, listen, we're going to open the phone lines. 888-589-8840. Let's have some conversation here this morning in the minutes that we have left, and we can really talk about anything that you would like to. The border wall, the funding, what's going on in the news, something about Christmas, whatever. Just whatever you want to talk about. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. I got a nice, there's a lot of things going on our Facebook page, Sandy Rios in the Morning. This is from Tamara. She said, thank you for the song this morning. I sang yesterday. I, you know, not like performance sing, but I just, God just placed us an old song we used to sing when I was growing up. I think it's not necessarily a hymn, although it might be considered a hymn, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. In those discouraging news moments, I know that my Redeemer liveth. It's something that Job declared. One of the first books written in Scripture was the book of Job. And I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand on the earth. It's just beautiful. And she says, I never heard it, can't tell you how it spoke to me. Like you, I often feel like the souls beneath the altar. How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth, end quote. Thank you for sharing. My pleasure, Tamara. That's the way God does speak to us, isn't it? And one other quick one before I go to the phone lines. It's 888-589-8840. This is from Bob. Somehow, some way, I led Bob and maybe others to believe that I do not think pastors should be talking about politics. Bob is real upset with me. He talks about the 64 years of silence in our pulpits, your own silence. Break your own silence and start asking the silent pulpitcy to begin speaking before it's too late. Our culture is not because we are living in a post-Christian society. It is because we are living in a post-pastor speaking truth to the Democratic Party society. I was shocked and disappointed to hear you say that political subjects belong in the foyer of the church, but not in the pulpit. Somehow, Bob, I totally I've spent my life, honestly, a lot of my adult life trying to get pastors to step up to the plate. So that's a complete misunderstanding. What I was trying to say, I know what you're talking about. I was trying to say that when I hear a pastor preaching on Sunday mornings, what I would prefer not to hear in his message is vote for Resolution 343, which talks about blah, 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 blah. I don't mind hearing that on the pulpit from someone, even him. But in the sermon, I want to hear God's word. I don't mind him expounding on the moral issues that have political implications. I want them to do that. It's funny. I'm sure I've said that a million times, but you didn't hear that. So you think automatically, I think the pastors are doing a great job and they should not be talking about these things. That's really, honestly, Bob, my opinion on it couldn't be further from what your impression is. In the message and in the music, I want to be able to worship. So for me, I'd rather not hear support John Smith while he's preaching. I would rather hear him preach from the Word. And maybe it'd be separate on the pulpit, that's fine with me, a report on what's going on in government and how we should respond. But in the message, God's word, which also could easily include issues about homosexuality and gay marriage and living together and pot and drugs and all of that. I'm happy for that. So I hope that sorted it out as quickly as I had to do it, Bob, but honestly, I'm on your team with this. We need our pastors to step up. Okay, let's go to the phones. Let's go first to Monty in Virginia. Good morning, Monty.
And hey, thank you, Sandy. I just want to tell you real quickly that fundraising, this is ridiculous, about $5 billion. You know what thrift shops are like. It's 100% profit when you give your things because you do it in love. Salvation Army is one I do very much, ringing bells and so forth. But, Sandy, I had a rec club here in Culpeper in the 80s. We decided to take the membership and do all the volunteer repair work on the place. Therefore, you charge a very low entry fee for your children to come to swim and tennis and all that stuff. Do you know that Donald Trump could put the word out? Tupelo, Mississippi has, roughly 200 stations, and we have two here in Culpeper, Virginia. They're all miracles, both of them are miracles. We send that radio wave right to those senators and House of Representatives if they listen. Sandy, you could put your name on the wall and donate so much money, like Mitsubishi. I ran Knott's Berry Farms fundraising, and all you have to do is go to the people and say, I'm tired of dealing with a republic that won't have a representative to do what the people want. What do you think?
Let me make sure I understand. Are you suggesting that, like that wounded veteran, we should do a GoFundMe and the people should? You're suggesting that American Family Radio, in conjunction with President Trump and other entities, could just say we'd be bypassing Congress, we're going to raise money for the wall. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, ma'am, because understand, if your school, your high school, lets somebody put a sign $200 a year representing their company or corporation, they spend $200 to $1,000 a year to put that sign on the fence, an athletic fence. They're representing their company, their donation, and their community relationship. You do not need, like Barack Obama, 130 times when he was in Chicago, voted present. What kind of fool does not vote on a bill either way, yay or nay? Sandy, it's the people. Sandy Rios is one of the greatest radio hosts I've ever listened to. You're wonderful. I love AFR Radio. We the people can change this country. It only takes one plus God to do anything.
Oh, I love it, Monty. You know, you're not the only person that has raised this to me lately in various forums, that we need to just forget Congress. They don't represent us. They don't care. They don't give a, you know, they just don't give a care. And so let's just do it ourselves. And I'm hearing this from a lot of people, a lot of sources. So I will pass your suggestion along, okay? And thanks for that wonderful compliment. I really appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you, Monty. Thank you so much. Let's go to Jennifer in Ohio. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Yeah. What's on your mind this morning?
I'm so excited to talk to you. I love you.
Thank you.
The man who answered the phone said you had already missed this, but I think I missed part of your show this morning. But I saw the veteran with the amputee.
Yes.
Three amputees. Yeah. I was kind of wondering how that works if America continues to pay into that GoFundMe. How does that work?
Well, we just talked about that with Monty. And yes, before you joined us, we talked about the veteran who'd lost two legs and an arm. And he's raised something like more than $2 million just very quickly. We can do that, Jennifer. I'm not prepared this morning to. I'll tell you his address. You go. It's go to the GoFundMe page, and he's calling his We the People Will Fund the Wall. So, but I can't make any other big pronouncements on it because we're not organized to do that quite yet. But I think I'm going to pass the suggestion along. And would work, we'd raise the money and get pass it on. I don't know how that would happen. I can't answer that because this is all new discussion to me. But I think that you're right. I think you're spot on. I thank you for asking. All right, let's go to Ed in Ohio. Good morning, Ed. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Sandy. Hey, the reason I'm calling is that I've written to my Congress. I've told them just build the wall. And as I recall, back in the 1990s, the homosexual community wanted to lift a ban in the military to let homosexuals in. And they had I saw a bumper sticker back then that said, lift the ban now. Well, I say, build the wall now.
Yeah. So you're saying bumper stickers?
Well, I'm not saying go out and get bumper stickers. Well, yeah, that's a great idea. Build the wall now with big capital letters.
Yeah. Well, you heard Tommy talk about the fact that the Freedom Caucus is trying to buy some time here, and they are hoping and praying that the American people will back them up. The American people do back them up. The problem is, this is not a detriment to doing anything. I'm just saying the circumstance is that, as usual, the powers that be plan these things right at Christmas. Remember Obamacare passed on Christmas Eve? While people are enjoying themselves and enjoying their families and busy with preparations, this is when they do their worst deeds. This happens all the time. It's happened every Christmas for I don't know how many years now since I've been covering this stuff. But, yes, what?
This is a one-time investment. And then that's it. It's not a forever cost.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so here's the thing. I think we're going to have to do this because I don't have time to orchestrate a campaign. So I think can we not say that all of us could go to GoFundMe and help this U.S. We're not helping him financially. He's the one that set up the page. It's We the People Will Fund the Wall. We'll put that on our Facebook page. And if you want to do your part to contribute to building the wall and building that fund, wouldn't that be something? And the other thing is you can call your congressman today, call them and tell them you insist that they provide money for that wall. So that's I think what we can do. Ed, thanks. Thanks. I feel the same way you do. Thank you. Let's go to Bo in Arkansas. Good morning, Bo.
Good morning. How are you, Sandy?
I have had better emotional days, but I'm doing well. I'm blessed. You know.
I know you're right. I love listening to y'all. I pray for y'all all the time, but by the a lot of times I need prayer by the time I get through hearing what you got to say. But my question was basically it already got answered because I was wondering why we couldn't go do a fund me deal to build the wall myself, but it had kind of gotten answered. And another thing, I keep hearing Nancy Pelosi talk about you're not going to get the money, you don't have the votes. Did they not work for us, the American people? Do we not have a voice after they get into office? They can just do what they want when they want without any consequences?
Well, that is the state of affairs, Bo. That, and we have allowed it to get to that point. And in the 2018 midterms, a lot of people didn't vote, didn't care. So this is the reason we're in this situation. And so we have to change that, Bo, while we still can. Thanks so much. Let's go to Bruce in North Carolina. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Sandy. So good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I talked to you once before. Yes, what
cool.
A blessing.
Thank you.
The kitties woke us up this morning, and it's Sandy time. Time to listen to Sandy Rios.
The kitties?
The two of them.
Oh, you mean like meow, 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 that kind of kitty, right?
Like meow, 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 meow.
Yeah, okay.
They open our pocket door. They stick their hands in our pocket door and open it up. Time to listen. They know it's 8 o'clock. It's Sandy Rios.
I have more fans than I realized. So, okay,
yes,
so Bruce,
you do.
So, what's on your mind? I have to rush you because I want to make sure we get your comment in.
Okay. Last night I was reading Decision Magazine with Billy Graham, and Andrew Brunson's article was in there. What a wonderful individual he is. And he knelt down and prayed for the president. Wouldn't it be nice to have him come back and pray over the president again for knowledge, wisdom, and discernment?
It would, but you know what, Bruce, the thing, we could each, actually this morning I did, I just prayed as I was preparing that God would give him strength and that he would find his voice again because we need him, and pray for him,
amen.
Pray for his protection. And so we don't have to wait for Brunson to go to the White House. We can all do that, thank goodness. Thank you, Bruce, and Merry Christmas. Michael in Georgia. Good morning, and quickly, if you can, Michael.
Yes, ma'am. Before I tell you how much I love your show and everything and your Christian perspective and all that good stuff, I just want to say that I wish that you were on for more than 1 hour a day. I wish American Family Radio could slot at least 2 hours. I mean, your guest and everything and your format and all, it really blows away all the other the radio shows, local and, you know, even like, I don't know, Sean Hannity and the rest of them. You know, I just love how...
Thank you.
Your guests are really smart, and you get the ones that really know, and they're not trying to spin things, and they come at it from, seems to be, you know, a really knowledgeable level. And so,
thank you, Michael. That's very sweet.
When you listen to the other shows, yes, ma'am. When you listen to the other shows, you can tell that those people they've spin it or got some sort of agenda or don't really know,
Michael,
what they're talking about.
Michael, we are out of time. We are out of time. I am so sorry. Merry Christmas to you. That's very kind. Now you're going to get me in trouble, you know, but that very sweet of you to say that. I need to say quickly, tomorrow we have a very special Christmas show that will encourage your heart, so please tune in. I myself am off to Scotland today. I'm leaving this afternoon, but you're going to hear me, even though I'm not going to be here live. And you're going to hear a lot of best of shows, some of the best of our year while I'm gone. And I wish all of you, live and in person, a wonderful Christmas. Be sure and act on this wall thing before you unplug. Sandy Rios in the morning.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.